Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Skylar Jeremias. On today's episode, we explore the possible implications of the Federal Trade Commission's second interim report on pharmacy benefit managers, also known as PBMs, which shed light on key issues with current PBM practices and their impact on drug prices. The report highlighted several troubling strategies, such as many cases where the big three PBMs were reimbursing their own affiliated pharmacies at higher rates than independent pharmacies. The report's latest findings raise important questions about the future of drug pricing transparency and regulation, and challenge the notion of whether PBMs are delivering on their intended promise to benefit the healthcare system. Additionally, since the beginning of the year, the United States has had a transfer of power going from a President Joe Biden administration to a second President Donald Trump administration, and the question remains on how this new administration will treat PBMs. To help us unpack these findings and their implications, we're joined by Joe Wisniewski, an expert in PBM legislation, price transparency, and healthcare policy. Joe serves in government affairs at Turquoise Health and brings a wealth of insight into how PBMs are navigating the current landscape, especially with the rise of new biosimilars and shifting regulatory pressures. We'll also explore how a second Trump administration could influence PBM practices, particularly in relation to biosimilars, and what that means for drug pricing efforts moving forward. Welcome, Joe. To start us off, how do you think PBM relationships with biosimilars have shifted over time, and do you think as a whole the PBM industry is embracing them more?
Yeah, so on this front, I think it's worthwhile to note like where Turquoise is coming from when we think about PBMs, PBM reform, and this goes all the way down to biosimilars, is we're a pricing transparency company, and our philosophy is that the more pricing online, the more information that's online, the more all elements of the healthcare marketplace can operate in a better way. And we've been working since 2020. We got started in 2020 and continued on since then to help the industry post these rates online, guide the industry through how to post these rates online, starting with hospitals and then payers. And when I look at biosimilars, you know, a drug that's very similar to the original biological drug, right, that might have some small differences. When I see that, I can't help but think of it purely from a price transparency perspective of, oh, I wonder what those rates look like. And I wonder what the difference is between that biosimilar and the original drug. And I wonder what the margin is on those drugs. And I want those margins to be clearly posted online in accordance with transparency and coverage, which originally had, you know, that third file that was going to include Part D drugs and pharma rates as a whole. So I'm curious to see what happens, not just with the relationship with biosimilars, but when those biosimilar rates are public. I think there's two different worlds for PBM relationships. There's a world where the rates are not public yet, and then there's the after effect of when those rates are posted. And my brief hypothesis would be, in a world where biosimilar rates are publicly online in some sort of machine-readable file posted by every payer, and companies like Turquoise are out there putting that rate out there, I could see PBMs being very interested in anything that contains that margin, has that price clearly distributed, and puts them in a better light, because I think they're going to have way more attention to what their margins are, even more so than the FTC report that we're going to talk about in a moment. And it's a similar kind of, not quite reckoning's too strong of a word, but similar sort of shift that hospitals and payers have had to go through. I think PBMs are about to experience the same thing. You know, if I were a PBM thinking about biosimilars and other elements, I'd absolutely be reaching out to health systems that have gone through the gauntlet online or in the press, or payers that have gone through the gauntlet, because they're about to face a similar thing. And biosimilars could be some sort of safe harbor when it comes from a price transparency perspective, not to mention, you know, you're able to provide a very similar drug at a lower cost and achieve your mission quicker.
Now, the FTC's second report highlights that PBMs reimburse their own affiliated pharmacies at higher rates than independent pharmacies. What are the consequences of this practice?
Yeah, the FTC report was incredibly strongly worded. And the other element that I noticed in the report was the fact that this was basically voluntary data, right? Like the data that was actually given out when you dig into the weeds and you look through some of these news articles, this is effectively what PBMs gave to the FTC from a price perspective. And I know they most likely, when they see what's going down, do not want to be in this position again. And again, they're experiencing a lot of what the hospitals were experiencing in 2021 and 2022. And once all the prices are out, they're probably going to have more situations like this as well to think through. And I think the consequences of that is PBMs having to deal with the public outrage from a higher rate at an affiliated pharmacy. And it might be the similar thing as the site of shift care that's happening right now in the provider and payer negotiation space. So just as a quick recap there, what's going on is a lot of payers are saying, well, why on earth am I sending my members for a knee repair to an ambulatory surgery center? Or I should say a hospital. It's way too expensive to send to a hospital. Let's send them to an ambulatory surgery center. Or why on earth am I getting a strep test in an ER room where it's way more expensive versus the urgent care that's open till 11 p.m. So they're redirecting people in different areas for more cost-effective care. And then the patient's happier because they're not sitting in an ER dealing with all kinds of craziness. They're going to that urgent care for their kid to get a strep test. When you ask me this question and where this is going, I see a similar thing happening with PBMs over time, is this realization that, well, maybe I do need to open this up a bit more. I think there might be more of a push for these independent pharmacies to redirect people where the cost is actually lower, particularly when those rates are so public. It's even more difficult to execute that strategy. Again, intent is regardless here. But when everyone's margins are clear, people have to behave in a slightly different way. And that could be a situation that PBMs are facing. And we'll see. Again, we're kind of predicting here, but I think the best way to think about this is just to look at how price transparency has impacted providers and payers and extrapolate onto what could happen with the PBM industry as well.
What do you think PBMs, both big and small, should take away from the FTC's second report, and what steps should be taken to adjust their business strategies to avoid more increased scrutiny and potential regulatory actions?
Yeah, the exercise I would do as a PBM right now is just pretend there's a world where all of your pricing is public. Just pretend. That might not happen for a long time. PBM reform might not pass. Even if it does, maybe the rates are buried in some kind of PDF that you only share with a plan co-sponsor or something, and it's really not out there. But you should just pretend what pricing transparency could look like and treat this FTC second report as a hint of that world. I would not look at this report and say, ah, this is a one-off. We're getting hit in the press, but we always get hit in the press. Let's just continue to march forward as if, business as usual. And I would advocate that as a massive mistake, because I do think the probabilities are rather high that they're going to see increased scrutiny and they're going to have way more regulatory actions, even in this new administration. When you think about the Trump administration, the other takeaway here should be this actual continuality of government, where there are very few places where the Trump and Biden administration just handed off the baton perfectly. Really, I think it's only this example, and it's price transparency in healthcare. Trump started it, handed it straight off to Biden. Biden increased the fines on health systems. He executed further fines and more enforcement on hospitals. And the baton's been handed back to Trump. And even as you've got administrative chaos throughout all the departments in the government, CMS included, Dr. Oz clearly stating as a nominee for CMS, very likely to get the role. Pricing transparency is one of his main objectives. So for PBMs, I highly encourage them to walk through this exercise of what do you do when all your margins are online in some capacity, particularly Part D drugs is what I'm talking about here. How do you react in the press and navigate these questions when a reporter calls? Think through that worst case scenario. Do that now. Not only is it going to be better for your business, I think it's going to be better for your end patients to think this way. And don't just treat this as one-off, because it's just that's not the case. And there's plenty of excuses to say to yourself that it will be. And that's exactly why I proactively talked about the Trump administration, because I think that's one of the excuses is, oh, it's going to be complete chaos. We're fine. But even Buddy Carter, the new chair of the Subcommittee on Health in the US House, former pharmacist, literally in his own words, his top three things are PBM reform, price transparency, and his own first press release as chair. Everything's lining up here for PBMs to be scrutinized, and they need to prepare for it.
Now, since we're pivoting to talking about the Trump administration, with drug pricing, like you said, being what seems like the only thing that Republicans and Democrats can agree on, how do you think the FTC's efforts to investigate PBM practices and their impact on drug prices will shift in the next few years under a new Trump administration? Will this perhaps be a more PBM-friendly administration?
Oh, this is a tough one because anyone who claims to have a crystal ball right now, just we have to all admit no one knows what's really going to happen next, right? It's just my view is this is a game of probabilities and what's more likely to happen. And you still can be absolutely wrong, even, with a 98% chance. But with that in mind, I think this administration, like any other, operates with political realities. Even if they are shattering norms, whether you support them or not. I think it's clear that the Trump administration enjoys doing the unorthodox approach. And part of that is an incredibly friendly business environment, but they have to be selective, right? At the end of the day, Trump needs to do what he views as something that is popular with the American public. And supporting PBMs is a very difficult thing to do publicly. And no politician is going to run on, hey, I want to make sure we never reform PBMs, or I don't want pricing online. Like, you'd never hear that out of a politician's mouth, regardless of party. And with that in mind, like the FTC, it'll come down to how much they may or may not be gutted in these recent efficiency movements in the government. That's a huge question mark, is how many people are literally left to do enforcement? That's the first thing I'm going to look at in terms of what's the likelihood that there's high levels of efficiency, because the administration could talk a big game, but then there's no one left standing to do the hard work of enforcement, of going through these things and putting together the reports. This FTC report was the work of probably hundreds of people. And if there's only two of them, it might take way longer to do it. So that's the first thing I keep an eye on is just how many folks are left standing in that administration, or I should say that the FTC. The second thing I'm thinking through in this, though, is you have all these folks, though, who are basically saying, look, we're going to be really light on businesses in X, Y, and Z places. But I don't see that same trust, that same leniency on PBMs. I think the American people want accountability. And whether it's fair or not, it's not turquoise here. We follow the data. We have everyone post their rates online and we follow that data. So we don't have an opinion on PBMs, if they're good or bad. To me, that's irrelevant because it's just about getting your data online and using that to help create a better marketplace. But I say all that because I think the Trump administration is still basically going to put pressure on some businesses in some way, shape, or form. And PBMs are a really big target for that. So I just want to stress that, yeah, even with all this chaos, PBMs are in that weird, narrow, tight, open door that allows for the Trump administration to actually maybe execute something one would consider anti-business. And keep in mind, this is Trump's favorite move, is he kind of repeats Nixon goes to China like every weekend. He'll be all about pro-business practices, and then one weekend he turns around and talks about nationalizing TikTok. Basically, that's what the proposal was. And for a Republican president to talk about nationalizing a social media platform is unheard of, or at least have the US take a significant investment stake in it in his sovereign wealth fund. So I would expect those wild swings of Nixon goes to China over and over again throughout this administration. And PBMs might be China in this example, and not in the best of ways from their perspective.
Now, going back to the FTC's first report released last year, the first version had a bit of backlash, I would say, from the big three, particularly Express Scripts, which filed a lawsuit against the FTC, demanding a retraction of the report and claiming that it actually disregarded evidence and could actually raise drug prices for consumers. In response, I would say, the FTC filed an administrative complaint accusing Express Scripts, along with Caremark and OptumRx, which together control about 80% of prescriptions in the U.S., of forcing patients to pay higher costs on insulin products to increase their profits. So, considering how all of that happened the first time the FTC released a report on PBMs, how do you think the big three may respond to the second report, especially since it kind of doubles down on the findings from the first one?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, you see some of these quotes from the Pharmaceutical Care Management Association right away saying, look, this relies on incomplete information. And there's always going to be this back and forth of cherry picking of data by both sides accusing each other of saying that. And that's actually where I would advocate for PBMs. Price transparency isn't a threat to them. I know that sounds crazy. That's kind of like my version of Nixon goes to China. But what I will say, though, is if all the rates are out there, that means the Pharmaceutical Care Management Group now, the association, I should say, can now come back and say, look, all this price transparency data is a source of truth. It's impartial. It's posted online. We're seeing X changes in percentages, and we're seeing our industry improve in this way. They really can't do that right now because there isn't one source of truth for both sides to rely on. And that's how I would want to change the course of the conversation. Is right now the pharmaceutical groups, all the lobbying groups are just going to say it's incomplete data. We voluntarily gave them some data sets and they cherry picked where we look bad. Whether that's true or not, it just adds to the confusion of the whole conversation. And what we've seen with price transparency for hospitals is a great example is in the state Senate in Wisconsin. You had state senators quoting, the price transparency data using turquoise. And then you had patient advocacy groups countering, also using turquoise. But what was nice about that situation is everyone was using the same information. So at least there was some foundation in this world of all kinds of different alternative realities, whether they're true or not. It's very rare for everyone to say, we're going to start with this baseline, this one figure, this one stat base, and then build arguments on top of that. I would like to see a world in the PBM space where that association could counter, as they have a right to do, with the same exact data set, and actually showcase that incomplete information. And everyone agrees because it's out there. So counterintuitively, I think Part D, I think other types of transparency movements within PBMs, they shouldn't fight it because I think it's going to help them in the long run because it gives them some standing for these arguments that are very impactful and are going to help them kind of turn the tide, particularly from a public affairs perspective.
Do you think the FTC's recent findings will lead to concrete legislative or regulatory changes, or will PBMs find ways to maintain their market dominance?
Yep. I think it will lead to concrete legislative and regulatory changes. There was already plenty of momentum behind PBM reform. You heard me briefly talk about Buddy Carter in the House of Representatives. You've heard me talk a little bit about Dr. Oz. Like, you always look for alignment between all the different administrative agencies and congressional power brokers who are going to be aligned behind PBM reform. The more big names behind something, the more likely it's going to go through, regardless of who's president, regardless of the political climate. And then you add this on top of that burning fire. This was basically gas on top of that fire. And I think it will propel this further. And I also think there's an interesting alignment where you even got J.D. Vance, very conservative Republican who loves Khan, who loves the Biden pick to be the head of the FTC. It's just fascinating, this interesting alignment of almost like an anti-monopolistic movement that has taken over both parties. And whether or not you say PBMs are a scapegoat or not, I don't know if that matters quite much. I think a PBM listening to this might feel like they might be a bit of the scapegoat for monopolies, but they've got a large target on their back for regulatory reform right now. And this report certainly propelled that forward when things were already kind of lining up for them before.
In addition to criticism from the report, how might PBMs adjust their business strategies in response to increased scrutiny from the general public as well as patient advocacy groups?
Yeah, I really would encourage a lot of PBMs to reach out to hospitals and see how they've changed, because what we've noticed in the hospital space is, I had a hospital CFO come to me in the early stages of price transparency when everyone was still learning how to navigate this data. And they were just completely shocked of like, oh, I actually need to think about that imaging center that just opened up down the street that's independently owned. I need to figure out what their rates are because they're probably paid way less than me. And then I need to justify my premium. I can't match them on MRI rates, but I can argue I've got better machines. I've got better, radiologists. It's integrated with a bunch of other services. You get your imaging done on floor one and you go up to floor three and the surgery or whatever it is. At least they've got to defend their price. And you've seen hospitals organize themselves into like defensive and offensive strategies. And the problem with healthcare in general is for most Americans, they expect it to be like buying any other service, but it's like buying a car and not knowing you have a Ford or a Ferrari until you're already off the lot and you're already on the hook for the bill. And that's frustrating to Americans. So I give that context because PBMs are going to have to look at what's happened again to hospitals and payers and recognize they're going to be in these, like, they got to organize themselves into defensive and offensive strategies. They should take a hard look at their margins right now and say, if these margins were public, hypothetically, where would I look really bad? And game that scenario out now. Even if the requirement to post your rates isn't really enforced until, say, 2026, 2027, we've seen a couple of dates thrown out. Get ready for it. But then also ask yourself, not just defensively, offensively, where maybe you can truly grow your business in a way that still supports and helps patients, where there are opportunities in those margins, where maybe you think, like, huh, maybe I could make more money here. Or I'd love to see what everyone else is getting paid for a particular drug. All of those things are going to be public, I think, one day. I think it's worthwhile to do that exercise, organize yourself into offensive and defensive strategies, and then game out how you're going to respond if an FTC-like report comes out targeting you. And again, for hospitals, they've been in this world where a reporter calls up. The reporter literally is waving a bill from a patient, and saying, justify this price. And that's a tough position to be in. There's a lot of complications behind that bill. Whether or not that person was billed correctly, whether it's fair or not, different question. But the nuance often gets lost in public debates these days. Nuance doesn't fit in a tweet. Nuance doesn't do well on a TikTok reel. Like, that's just the truth of the matter. And there's a bunch of nuance in this conversation. And we're able to do that nuance with this audience. But the second you get into NPR, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, pick your poison, whatever it is, nuance usually might go out the window, and that headline is going to be damning, and you got to get ready for that world. And I think a lot of PBMs need to really think through that level of scrutiny that maybe they haven't faced before, because this is a pretty nerdy in the weeds issue, and it's becoming more and more public.
What do you wish more people understood about PBM practices and their impact on the biosimilar and generic industries, as well as prescription spending overall?
Oh, I love this question because I always think about the antibiotics market, right? And there's so much social good that could be done in creating new antibiotics right now, right? We have all these spreads of super bugs in hospitals, and you don't want a world where you get a cut and you die of an infection because there's no antibiotic that can save you. Yet, from a business perspective, antibiotics are terrible, right? A lot of your readers will know this off the top of their head, where the R&D spend on creating a new antibiotic is enormous. And there's a ton of risk, a ton of investment. It might not pay off. And if you lead that initiative at your company and it doesn't work, you're done. In that instance, I'd hope the federal government would write a big check, kind of like Operation Warp Speed that worked very well for vaccines. That's something the government, regardless of political party, is very good at doing, is pumping that money into fast development of something. And I wish more people understood that the massive amount of risk in R&D to be innovative in the PBM world, or just say in the pharmaceutical world in general, because then you take that huge risk, you try to make some money, and then a couple of years later, the whole market is awash with generics and biosimilars at a cheaper rate. And AI makes this worse of everyone copying each other. I think you're just going to see this crazy spin wheel of everybody getting their own version of DeepSeek and being surprised by a faster competitor that kind of copies your work. And it makes R&D even more risky. So while biosimilars and generics lower pricing and create a better experience for patients, the irony is you still need someone to take a risk and create a new drug, create a new approach to curing a disease. And that massive R&D spend might not look great from a margin perspective, but if people aren't rewarded in our current system, if you want something done, you got to make it profitable for somebody. And I wish people understood that massive R&D risk a little bit more and not necessarily jump to the immediate, again, we're defenders of nuance at Turquoise. It's tough, but we're going to keep doing it. And I wish more people understood the massive amount of risk that comes with making a new drug because it might not work out. That R&D spend's there. And everyone's just going to copy you with generics, biosimilars, whatever you want to call them. And you're kind of stuck in a rock and a hard place. And that's why there's a lack of innovation. And these pricing transparency movements, everyone doing them usually has a heart of gold, right? But there can be unintended consequences, especially if PBM folks aren't ready to talk about their margins and justify their margins, particularly in this Venn diagram of where there's a high margin and yet there's actually a high social good. I wish people understood that high margin doesn't necessarily always mean horrible, evil, maniacal laughter, making money stuff. Sometimes high margin actually does mean high level of social good. And I use the antibiotic example as an extreme one, of course, but there are other examples of that, I'm sure, in the pharmaceutical world and for PBMs. And that's going to be an interesting thing to talk about when all those margins are online, for sure.
And lastly, Joe, do you have any concluding thoughts?
I just want to reemphasize for PBMs to look at what happened in the hospital and payer worlds around price transparency. And you'll see this shift from this is horrible, we do not want to do this, to, oh, wait, no, we actually really support this. Or we're doing it and we're putting out our rates, maybe begrudgingly, but at least we're acknowledging this is kind of here to stay. There's been this like acceptance in that industry that pricing transparency wasn't a fad. It's not disappearing and it's a requirement everyone has to follow. And I think PBMs have so much to learn from that change. And they can basically avoid the delays that hospitals and payers experienced by thinking through a world where, like, hey, this is kind of coming. The flood dam has already opened on payers and providers. Those Part D rates are going to be out there. The Part B rates technically are already in the hospital files and the payer files. If I want any hospital-administered drug, that's Part B, I can find it. For the most part, I can find those rates. Part D, though, opens up a whole new thing, and it's more visceral for a patient because it's the pharmacy. It's where way more people are getting things. It's where they feel that pain of the price way more. So I would just double down on reminding any PBMs listening to this that the likelihood is rather high this is coming, and it's better to think through those offensive and defensive strategies now rather than being caught flat-footed. And it might even be worth exploring what you can do with the limited data set today, to just game out what a world looks like where all of your margins, particularly Part D margins, are online, and how do you react?
Well, Joe, thank you for sharing your insights. And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information on everything we discussed today in the show notes. And until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.